Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. Welcome to the program. God bless you all. And today we will be looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. The passage about Mary and Martha. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So here's the passage. Let's have a look at it. Oh, before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, give wisdom, light, and grace to your word today as we listen and as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into their house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And in John 11:5, we find about a bit of background about this family. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So here we find out Martha is loved of the Lord along with Mary and her brother Lazarus, the same Lazarus that passes away and is resurrected 3 days later. They all lived in the village of Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, and they were a close family. And they were a family that Jesus was emotionally attached to. We know that he wept at the passing of Lazarus, and he was very connected with these people. The Bible says he loved them. And people, when they saw Jesus' reaction to the passing of Lazarus, they said, "Behold how much Jesus loved this man." They were close. They were family. Jesus' own family at this point was not cooperating with him. His brothers were up there in Galilee and basically ignoring him and only come around much later after the resurrection. So this was like a second family to Jesus. And so Martha is what we think is the bossy elder sister of the family. She's the practical one. She's the one that gets up and goes to Jesus when he arrives at Bethany when Lazarus has passed away, while Mary sits in the house. She's the one that's always up and doing. And so we know people like that, and I have people like that in my life who are the Marthas, who are the servers, who are active and have a long list of tasks that they need to accomplish, and those tasks are very important to them. And we find that they have the kind of personality where it says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Now, Martha wasn't an inferior Christian. Jesus loved Martha. The Bible says so. He didn't see her as a lesser person. It's just that Martha needed to adjust her approach to life. And you and I need to adjust our approach to life in various ways. Some of us who might be lazy and we need to get more industrious. Some of us are too industrious and we just need to focus on the Lord. And the Lord has one big lesson out of this. And that is, we are to be singularly focused in the moment, and especially on the presence of God. You need to realize that the world is not a great long ladder to climb or a rushed list of tasks to get done. We get that way. The world rewards busyness, but the kingdom of God rewards us when we are centered, when we are in place, when we are showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, when we're loving, kind, gentle, and gracious. And we'll look at more of that in the next broadcast, where we look at the shorter version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke, and in Luke chapter 11. But here, the kingdom of God is a kingdom where we are focused on God and focused on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will not be taken away from us. You see, when we are busy doing jobs, we finish one job and there's the next job and there's another one. And every Sunday night, I sit down and I write my list of jobs for the week in a book. There's generally 30 or 40 jobs that I have to do, and I make a list of them on Sunday night so I don't have to worry about them. I've got them down, I know what I'm doing for the week, and then I move through them. And some days I get flustered, some days I get hurried. Even this morning, even now as I'm doing this broadcast, I'm wondering how I'm going to fit it all in with the schedule for the day. So things have to be moved this way and that. But now, at this moment, I'm focused on one thing, and that's talking to you over the radio. I'm not focused on other things, the cats in the room, or the jobs that need to be done after this, or picking up my wife afterwards, or the prayer meeting tonight. Here and now, I'm in the moment with you. And you are in the moment with me, and we need to focus on the word of the Lord and being present with God and for God, and be able to just move moment by moment throughout the day without getting stressed out by little noises or this or that. So we need to commit our days and our ways to the Lord, because there's one thing that God wants to focus us to focus on. And says, Mary has chosen the good portion. What's the good portion? The good portion is Christ Jesus, our focus on God, on listening to him, and our spiritual life. Now, spiritual people can seem a little bit lazy. We wander around the place. We spend an hour and a half studying the Bible in the morning. Why? You should be up and rushing around and chopping firewood or doing this or doing that. We who are in the ministry, everyone else thinks we're lazy because we're praying or we're thinking or we're studying or we're preparing a sermon or a radio broadcast, and we don't seem to be up and about doing things. But the good portion is the portion of the kingdom of God. And your daily quiet time is the good portion of your day. And you need to allocate that first to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't rush around with a whole list of tasks. Now, I know that sometimes you have to get up and get kids to school and all the rush of the morning. But as soon as you can, as soon as it is possible, get some time with the Lord, or even get up earlier and spend some time with the Lord before you enter into the rush of the busyness of the day. And we find that the good portion is Christ Jesus. He's the portion that we shall have for eternity. He's the portion we should focus on now. The world will always have more jobs for us to do. The problem with being a busy, industrious person is that people lean on them and they feel used and they feel abused. And I've got to do everything and everyone else is just sitting around socializing and I've got to wash the dishes and I've got to do this and I've got to do that because no one else is helpful. And this is the common thing with people who have what we call the gift of helps. They love running around helping. They don't want to teach. They don't want to sing. They don't want to be up the front of the church. But they have a great gift of helps. And Martha seems to have had that. She's the person who got up and did. And so she didn't have much else to do, and now she's feeling that life is unfair. Look what she says to Jesus. Look what she says. She gets fed up with Jesus. She stomps into the room where he's teaching. She interrupts the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ because she has a good relationship with Jesus. And she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So here she is. She stomped in to the teaching session with her hands on her hips, and she's telling Jesus what to do. Well, Jesus just must have chuckled on the inside at what Martha was doing. Here she was interrupting a discourse of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make sure the dishes get washed and the food gets served, and this is that. And this indicates that it wasn't a rich family. It was a family that had a house big enough to do some teaching in, but it didn't have servants. Martha didn't have any servants to help her. She was serving alone, and she expected her sister to get up and help her to cook the meal, strain the spaghetti, put the vegetables out, everything that needed to be done. I suppose it was Jewish cuisine, whatever it was, and get the lentils ready, and get ready for the Lord and for all the people that had come to listen to the teaching and be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And she feels exasperated. Martha feels hard done by. And a lot of those who serve in practical ways feel hard done by. If you ever talk to someone that drives a school bus or does practical things, they're always saying, well, my schedule was messed up and this happened and that happened. And they're hard done by because they feel that they're the only ones doing any practical work around the place and everyone else is just sitting in the school bus office or something and giving them orders that don't work. And this is something that builds up inside of people. They become resentful. They become angry because no one else is doing their fair share of the work. And if you're one of those people that feels that no one else is doing their fair share of the work, you've got to take Jesus' advice. You've got to calm down a little bit and you've got to tell yourself that some of this stuff doesn't matter as much as you think it does matter. What really matters is that you get your temper under control and that you calm down a little bit about your workload and that you let the Lord speak to you in the inner man or the inner woman and find the virtues of God, the virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God will give you perspective on your work. You'll learn to manage it better. You'll learn to manage your workload. You'll learn not to take it all so terribly seriously. And all of us have got to learn that. We all tend to take our work a little bit too seriously. When I'm preparing a sermon or something and my wife comes in and interrupts my conversation, or my concentration rather, I tend to get a little bit annoyed. It shows on my face. Why are you interrupting me when I'm doing my important sermon preparation? And my wife looks annoyed when I do that because I look annoyed at her and she looks annoyed at me. Why can't you give me some attention? Well, we've got to get past that. Our work isn't more important than our people. I need to love my wife, and people who do their tasks need to love people more than their tasks. And Martha could let the work go for a bit. You know, not everything has to be done perfectly. And that's a hard thing to learn, especially if you're a perfectionist, as I tend to be, and my wife very much is. My wife's very much a perfectionist. She's a scientist. Worked in laboratories in clean rooms where they have a special air pressure. She did genetic work with the genetics of plants, and she's got a PhD in botany. She's very bright, but she's very particular about how things are done because of her training, because her work required measuring chemicals down to a thousandth of a gram and this and that and the other. And so her work was very precise. My wife, Minda, is a very precise person. And so she tends to take all these things seriously, and so do I. And being imperfect, making mistakes, is something that neither of us are comfortable with. We want things done well, the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed. The problem with that is sometimes the world is messy, and we have to accommodate a messy world and focus on Jesus, and Jesus who says, look, calm down about this. This isn't the end of the world. We haven't been hit by a giant slush ball. There's been no nuclear war. The fact that this wasn't done exactly the way it should have been done is not such a big deal. And we have to hear that inside of us. We need to get perspective on our work and just cruise along. Now, of course, being a Westerner, being an Australian and an American, I have an American sense of time. I like it precisely. And when I get to Africa, where many of you, my listeners, are, and the meetings are a lot later and things aren't quite as precise and done just as so, of course, it tends to grate a little bit on my natural perfectionism. But that's not significant. It's not a big deal. I can just relax and let that happen, even though it's against my own inclination. The people are more important than everything being on time. And so for here who was with Martha, she's like me. She's rushing around and she wants everything to be on time and perfect. And Jesus says, well, it doesn't have to be on time and perfect. We'll just cruise along, Martha. Don't get so worked up about it all, because our focus, your focus and my focus, it needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Martha's feeling that Jesus doesn't care about all her stress and strain and workload. And there are some ministries that are like that. If you're running an orphanage with orphans to feed and a lot of things and school clothes to buy and school fees to be paid. Some of those ministries require a lot of rushing around. And I knew a lady doctor in Papua New Guinea who went 14 years without having a quiet time. Why? Because she had to run the hospital 24/7, 365. And she says that was the biggest mistake of her life, was just talking to God on the fly instead of sitting down and having a quiet time. Now, that's an extreme example of a Martha. And she would teach us all as young missionaries. I was a young missionary at this time. She was vastly the senior missionary. And I would just sit there and she'd say, it is very, very important that you have a quiet time. Even when patients are dying, when the hospital's doing this and the nurses need that, I should have. That's what she's saying in her later years. She was probably in her mid to late 50s at this point when she was talking to me, that I should have spent much more time with the Lord. Now, we never regret all the small tasks. No one says when they're dying, I really should have put in the roast a quarter of an hour earlier. I should have washed up that dish and I forgot to wash it up. They don't say that when they're dying. They know they should have spent more time with friends and with family and with the Lord and on the main things of life. And we need to keep the main things, the main things. And the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is your relationship with God. And you're not to let it be cluttered up by all the tasks and all the anxieties and all the stress of life. So here it is. We know that this, we've heard it many, many times before, that we need to make a full focus on God. Now, what was Mary focused on? She was sitting at his feet, listening to the teaching of the Lord. Now, I'm very glad that you listen to this broadcast. You're listening to high-quality Bible teaching, at least. I hope it's quite high quality. You need to get away from listening to all the prosperity preachers and the low-quality junk that's out there. And you need to listen to people that know God and know the Bible and can teach you the deep things of Scripture. And you need to spend time each week, time each day, listening to in-depth Bible teaching on the radio, on TV, on the internet, on your cell phone. Don't just go for the frothy stuff that touches your emotions. Go for the anointed word that's straight from the heart of God. Make sure that you have time for God's word in your life. Even get one of those little devotional books or subscribe to something on Facebook where you get a daily devotional sent to you that blesses your heart, your mind, and your soul. And that would really bless you and strengthen you in the work of God. Make time for teaching. And also, if you're so able, spend time reading the Bible for yourself and thinking it through for yourself. Make time for the Word of God to operate in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. Good Bible teaching, not just entertainment, not just devotionals, but good in-depth Bible teaching should be a solid part of your life. And that's what Mary was thirsting for. She was thirsting for the teaching of the Lord. Let teaching be a priority for you. That is, being taught the right things of God. And make sure, of course, that you go to a good church that has good teaching. Not just great worship, not just great entertainment, not just a popular pastor, but a great church with great teaching. And make that part of your life priorities. And so we find that Martha was anxious and troubled about many things. So we need to get from many things to one thing, the one thing that's important. And the many things overwhelm us. They're just pinging at us all the time. One thing, next thing, this problem, that problem, this thing that has to be done, this thing that has to be bought. We have to do this, I have to do that. And the answer is that have to is wrong. You don't have to do anything except for a very few things. All those have to, should, ought to, must, and got to things are created out of your own consciousness, out of your own sense of what has to be done at this time and that. And it can become tyrannical. I talk about the ought to monster. I ought to do this. I ought to do that. I have to do this. As soon as I get up in the morning, I have to rush here and rush there. And the ought to monster uses words like you've got to, you should, you must, you have to. And there's a sense of constant compulsion to do this, that, or the other. And this ought to monster is created by the experiences early in life from, say, having a strict parent or coming from a strict culture or having certain expectations that you will do this, that, or the other. And it becomes quite compulsive. I knew a woman that could not go to sleep unless all the keys were exactly vertical and all the locks around the house. And everything had to be just so before she could sleep. Now, that is a kind of obsessive compulsive disorder. She has to have things a certain way. She has to do it this way. She ought to. She has to. She should. She must. She's got to. And this created a considerable amount of chaos in her life. And you have to speak to that and say, that's not God. The ought to monster saying you should, have to, got to, etc. That's not God. That's your own training. That's your own self. That's a part of you that has been conditioned by your life, your culture, your teaching, your school, your service in the military or whatever, and it has certain rules. And it's telling you, you're disobeying this rule. You're not doing that rule. Get up, do more. And you've always felt this sense of hurry and compulsion. The ought to monster is from you. It is not from God. Remember what Jesus says at the end of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where he says about being weary and burdened. He says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and light, and I will give you rest. The yoke of Jesus is restful. It's not there to make us weary. It's not there to make us burdened. It's not there to make us troubled. Towards the end of 1 John, the Apostle John, in the little book of 1 John, towards the back of the Bible, says, his yoke is easy. His commandments are easy. They are not burdensome. God has not made you to be perpetually active, perpetually busy in Christian work to the point where it is burdensome, it is crushing you, you have no time for the Lord. Don't be like that lady doctor in Papua New Guinea. We're not to have this sense of obligation running our lives. That sense of obligation, that sense of pressure is from you. It's from your own sense of professional ethics, which you may think are very, very important. But it's not particularly from God. The first thing is to have peace with God. The first thing is to be still before the Lord. The first thing is to take all your burdens before the Lord and cast them upon him because he cares for you. Take all that busy stuff, put it on God, and let God sort it out. I'll just give you a little illustration. I live out in the country. And we have to mow the lawn with a ride-on mower. I know that sounds very rich and everything, but this is America. And I have a flat tire on this ride-on mower. And I tried to fix it myself, and I wasn't doing a very good job. So I was fretting about this. How am I going to fix this front tire on my lawn mower? And it was becoming bothersome to me. And so I took it to a tire shop down the road, and it was run by people who looked a little bit rough. And I dropped it off there on a Saturday morning, and they said, oh, we're not open now. I'll look at it on Monday. Anyway, Monday came, my whole week came, next Monday came, and I'm going, where's my tire? And I rang them up, and I was ringing them up, and they weren't answering their phone, and I was starting to feel very bothered about my little lawnmower tire. Were they ever going to get the job done? And, of course, my imagination is going up and down. What's happening? Why aren't they answering the phone? Are these people responsible? And I'm starting to get all huffed and puffed about a silly little lawnmower tire. So I decided I'll get in my car and I'll go down there and I'll look at this myself. So I drove down to the tire shop and I walked in. I said, oh, yeah, that tire. Okay, it's over here. And they fixed it in 5 minutes for $5, which is very cheap over here in America. Much cheaper than I was expecting. I pulled $5 out of my wallet, gave it to them, and I was very happy with the repair. You see, I gave it over to God at the last minute. I said, God, this is your problem. I am not going to get anxious over a hole in a lawnmower tire. But I was being. What a silly thing to do. Get all huffed and puffed over a hole in a lawnmower tire. But that's what we do. We're silly human beings. And suddenly being busy and getting this done and that done, it takes away our peace of mind. and you need to keep your peace of mind. I turn it over to the Lord. Lord, this is your problem. And the Lord sort of nudged me to go down and fix no time at all. It was just a small job they'd put to one side. And they did it in a few minutes, and I had my lawnmower tied back and on my lawnmower. And you see, when you give all these details that are bugging you and annoying you over to the Lord takes care of them. And that's something we need to do. You need to roll your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. And as soon as I turned that over to God and listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I was able to be calm and at peace. So we need to go from many things to one thing. Instead of being scattered and rushing here and there, feeling upset about this and that, oh, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do that? Oh, I've got to repair this hole in the roof and all the other things we think about. Let us turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us have the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching our main priority in life. Let's not be flustered people like Martha, who was getting angry at God, who's getting angry at Jesus. Let's not do that. Let's stop being flustered. Let's stop being worried and hurried. Let's stop being worried and anxious about many things. And just focus on Jesus, and Jesus will sort it out for us. And we will need to spend much, much more time with the Lord. Make sure you get a quiet time in each day. Make sure you get to church, even in the midst of a busy life. Remember, the best thing, the one thing, the best portion is Jesus. And he will not be taken away from you. This world will be taken away from you. Your jobs will seem like nothing even in a year's time or even a few weeks' time. They'll come, they'll go, and they'll get done. The most important thing that you need to do is spend time with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for everyone listening to this broadcast that you may bring them peace of mind, that your yoke will be easy and light upon them, that they will be able to turn their burdens over to you, and you will sustain them through all the difficult situations in life. May they no longer be worried about many things. May their spirit and heart and mind be settled in you. May their mind be set on you, and may all the worries and cares of this world drop away. May they know your peace right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.